Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is John chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. The Reverend Mark Raby is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from John chapter 1. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and I have borne witness that this is the Son of God. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It was down on the south side of the Makaniesu Seminary campus, as you would walk down out the central gates and down the road and then take a hard left at the German roundabout. And there across the street, right next to all the various blue taxis, the 12-passenger, well, usually held 15 or more passengers, Toyota minivan, there they were, the whole lineup of pens. They were open to the front, but on the sides they were all delineated out. And that's where you would find the sheep. Each one of them were marked so that you knew when you went to go bargain later the size, the weight, male, female, and so on. And they were all marked with bright red spray paint. That's where you would find the lambs. A stinky, smelly assortment of all those lambs there waiting for their impending doom. Everyone knew why you went there. It was usually around Genna, that is Christmas, Ethiopian Christmas, or maybe at New Year's, or maybe even the Muslims would come when they would end Ramadan or another festival. That was the place you went in our local area to go find a lamb. And everyone knew that after that animal was bargained for, that lamb would be taken. Usually they would grab one leg and the others would be hopping along, and they would place them in the trunk or in the back of the taxi and take them off for dinner. Everyone knew this wasn't so the beautiful lamb could go be in the green grassy fields. It meant death. It meant dinner. In today's gospel, it was only a day prior that John was questioned, "Are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? Are you Elijah? Are you the prophet?" And to each of these, John said, "No, I am not." "Then who are you?" And the voice crying in the wilderness to prepare the way. And that's who John is. We've heard about him through the readings today, this last week, preparing and proclaiming concerning the Christ. And John the Evangelist also tells us that it was the day prior that Jesus came and was baptized. We just sang about it in the hymn. And unlike the other Gospels, John the Evangelist's baptism narrative is rather short. "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained on him." Short and sweet. He witnesses and he testifies. And so the next day, and that brings us to our text, when Jesus approaches and John the baptizer proclaims very clearly the gospel message to the religious leaders who are gathered around, to those who are there that day. And John proclaims, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now there are some pretty big implications to that statement. For us and for Jesus, there is an assumption about humanity that we are sinful and that we need to have sin taken care of. That sin needs to be taken away. And to call Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world has implications for Jesus as well. A lamb, not to be out in the field, but a lamb much like those lambs in the marketplace who will die. And Jesus isn't going to be a meal at Christmas or at New Year's. No, he's going to die on the cross. Ultimately, we will receive the fruits of his cross in the Lord's Supper. But in this case, it's very clear that impending death will come. He will go to the cross to take away the sins of all the world. And by faith, we cling to that good news. And so that's why Luther, in using this verse, John 1:29, quotes in the small called articles of our confessions, in order to make it very clear that we can be certain, the certainty of what Jesus has done for us. He says, "The sufferings and blood of the innocent Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, thus our repentance should be total. A person who confesses that they are altogether sinful embraces all sins in his confession without omitting a single one." And this is superior and more comforting than any attempt to enumerate or make satisfaction for sins. So no need to keep track or give God or your father confessor the list of all that you have done. No need on our part to try and make ourselves right with God. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world has done it all. In total, he has finished it. And so when we confess that we are sinners and the Savior has died for us, we can be certain of this wonderful good news. They're covered in total by Jesus. John's gospel is a beautiful gospel in this proclamation. John the Evangelist, but also John the Baptist, as he proclaims this beautiful gospel in one sentence for us. The Lamb of God who removes all of our sin and removes it by his death. But not all will hear it or believe it. Even those hearers, when John proclaims it, the leadership of the Jews had heard the truth of Jesus' person and work, but desired rather the darkness of disbelief over the light of Christ. Even when he says, "I'm the light of the world." From his baptism onward, Jesus is confronted by unbelief and spiritual blindness. And so it is today. Humanity, unlike bugs attracted to the light, are attracted to darkness. Christ has come to bring life and immortality to light. He is the light of the world in which no darkness can overcome. The old Adam, the old sinful flesh that's in every Christian, which we still have clinging to us, loves darkness. It's a war that goes on in us. We would rather keep our favorite sin, rather trust in the things of this world, allow ourselves to fear or love or trust in things other than the Savior. Hence the call of God to repent. The work of the law to show us our sin, that we have feared, loved, and trusted in things above ourselves, whether it be our checkbook or the cares or the worries of the world. Whatever it may be, the law is there to show us our sin and our need for a Savior. And such is why we preach the whole counsel of God, whether it be in the pulpit on Sunday or in chapel or throughout the world, as we send missionaries out to preach the gospel and plant churches and show mercy. It happens here, it happens there. We're compelled by Christ's love to do so, so that others who don't know Christ can know. We're compelled by Christ's love to tell others who walk in darkness, who love darkness, that behold, look to the light, look to Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and cling to him and have life and life to the full. He has come to take away all your sins. This Lamb who willingly went to his death, the death of the cross for you and for me and for all, and by his death has conquered sin and death by his own death. It's finished. We look forward to that glorious new creation on the last day. And so to know Christ by faith and cling to this wonderful good news, we're moved from death to life. And so there's no longer a need to be enslaved or live in the darkness, to be enslaved by fear or to live in that darkness, but to be in the light of Christ, who is the light of the world. And this is all the work of the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit who works in us, the same Spirit who descended on Christ at his baptism and remained on him throughout his ministry, one whom he gave to his apostles to bind and to loose sins, the one who was poured out over you in your baptism to regenerate you, to give you faith, to empower you each day to walk with him. And in that baptism, you died to sin, and now you're alive. Truly alive, empowered to walk in Christ each day in hope and in joy and in confidence. It was a really rather smelly place there in Addis whenever you walked by. It was kind of a crazy place at times during the holiday season to walk by that place where all the lambs were penned up. And it was always a stark reminder, though, whenever I took my morning walk across the street from all that craziness, of the one, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. As the animals often went, most of them went willingly as they were dragged to that trunk or the back of the minivan. Our Lord also, though, went willingly to the cross. Silently he went to be crucified, to pay for all of mankind's sin. We don't need stalls filled with lambs to remind us of that, to remind us of the sacrifice. We have the Word. We're blessed to have the Word of faithful preachers, the Word of faithful preachers like John, recorded in the Bible for us. This beautiful gospel message that we can cling to every day. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.